We're going to talk about the blessings that Mary had and the blessings that we have. We're in Luke chapter 11, and we're starting at verse 27. Just going to read 27 and 28. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." And we know from reading this parallel portion in Matthew and Mark, we know that the crowds are huge crowds around Jesus, and people going and coming all the time, so the disciples didn't even have time to eat. And Mark tells us that Jesus' family came to collect him. They said, and Jesus' family thought, he's out of his mind. And we know that Mary's there, and I'm sure it wasn't all peaches and cream having Jesus for your son. But she had amazing, amazing, and will have forever, amazing, amazing blessings for being the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus wants us to know, from what he said in the Word, he wants us to know that you and I can have even greater blessings than Mary had. You and I can be really, truly, richly blessed. And people today, I think one of the reasons that people get trapped in drug addiction is that they don't know how to be happy. And I've written a little tract here somewhere. It's in the back. My little happy tract. You can get one on your way out. But in this tract, I talk about Abram, and how God said, I will bless you, you bless others. You're not supposed to bless yourself, you're supposed to bless others. And so we know that one of the ways that we can be blessed is if we get our eyes off ourselves and we get our eyes on others and trying to bless them. And here we have Jesus teaching that the way to blessing for us is to not be thinking about, am I happy? Am I happy? Am I happy? But to be thinking about, how can I do what God wants? How can I be obedient? The context of these two verses that I've read is Jesus is having a big argument with the scribes and Pharisees and teachers of the law, and he's surrounded by a group of people who know the Bible very well, but they don't obey it. If you start a verse, I used to play a game with a youth pastor I had in Attleboro, Dan Couch, and it was, you read a verse of the Bible, and I could see if I can tell you what book it's in. And he'd do it to me, I'd do it to him. And it was fun. If you like quiz games, that kind of a thing is fun. And I'm sure that the people who are arguing with Jesus, they can quote the Bible backwards and forwards. They're kind, maybe like a guy I met many, many years ago in Calais, Maine. He came into my office, introduced himself, and then he said, first thing he said to me, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And I thought he wasn't really taking too many risks in making this strong declaration to me. But I found out when I went to his home and he said to me, did you ever throw up down a hotter register? That there was a disconnect between his knowledge of the Bible as the Word of God and his obedience. That's the story of the people Jesus is talking to. They know the Bible. They can say, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. They've probably memorized all the Proverbs. They know. And we're studying the Proverbs on Wednesday night, and the Proverbs basically are saying, this is the good path. This is the path God wants. This is the wise path. And if you use your tongue to bless people, you're going to be blessed. If you use your tongue to curse people, things are not going to go well for you. And there's all of this teaching. And I'm sure that the scribes and Pharisees, they know it all backwards and forwards. Jesus says, if you obey the Lord, this blessing, this happiness in obedience. And that's hard for us to get, because when we think of obedience, we usually think, or our culture thinks about Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes. You know who I mean by Calvin? He gets a box and he writes transmogrifier on it. He's got a very active imagination. And he has all these adventures by being transformed into this and that. And then he changes it and he writes, crosses out transmogrifier, and he puts duplicator and he puts a dial on it that says evil and good. So he puts himself in the box and puts it on good. And there's a good Calvin that comes out in the cartoon strip. And they do nothing but fight. Because the good Calvin wants to do good, and he goes and he cleans up his room without his mother asking, and the bad Calvin says, you're going to spoil her. And he does one good thing after another, and the good Calvin says things like, being good is its own reward, and it makes the bad Calvin gnash his teeth. And if they finally come to blows when the good Calvin is nice to the bad Calvin's arch enemy. His arch enemy is Susie Durkins. And when he gives Susie Durkins flour, then it comes to blows. And our world thinks of obedience as something bad. Yeah, obedience is something you do that you don't want to do. You're made to do. And Jesus sets a pattern for obedience when he says, after he heals the man at the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5, and they're saying, why are you working on the Sabbath? He says, I'm doing just what I see my Father doing. My Father's at work to this very day, and so I'm at work. And I'm watching him. I want to be just like him. And I want to say exactly what he wants me to say. I want to be obedient. And that hunger and thirst for righteousness is the great blessing of the Christian. And you're not, you can't, you know, people kind of want to make a bargain or get God on the same terms they might get at Martin's. Can I get it any cheaper? What's the cheapest? What's the least I can do for God and get into heaven? That is not the attitude that's here. Do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? Do I have to tithe? Do I have to love my enemy? Which one of those is harder? All those who think, well, I'm not going to do that. But Jesus shows us that the path of obedience is the path of delight. And like the old hymn that we sing, trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. What? To be happy in Jesus. There's no other way than to trust and obey. And Jesus says, we can have more blessings than his mom if we just do what the Lord says. In fact, all his teaching is there in order to show us the path of delight. Now, it's not always easy. Like exercise not fun, is it? No. Well, some of it is. If you play a game, you trick yourself into exercise, that can be kind of fun. But I'd say my chosen means of exercise is lifting weights. And it does not matter how many repetitions you do, They don't do any. The only two that do any good are the last two because they hurt. And Noelle has said to me at times when I've gone to exercise, she says, have fun lifting weights. And I want to say, do you know what lifting weights is? There are times when it's hard to be obedient. When Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Is that fun? Anybody think that's fun? Bless those who curse you. Does anybody think that's fun? But brothers and sisters, that's the life-transforming behavior. To say no to the flesh is a life-transforming behavior. And there are blessings that come. Sometimes we want to obey the Lord. You know, you go into shop in the Christmas season and you spend all this money and you come out and there's the person from Salvation Army ringing the bell at the door. And sometimes, isn't it just a joy to give? You think, I want to bless somebody. I'm going to bless somebody. And sometimes it's just a joy to be obedient. And we experience the truth of Jesus' teaching in those times. But brothers and sisters, we can have joy when it's hard to be obedient. But the choice is ours. We can be like, I don't know if you've ever tried to get a teenager to empty the garbage. Anybody ever been in that battle? It can be a tough battle. We can be like the teenager that mopes along. And they take all the time in the world. And I love teenagers. But there's a process to learn to love obedience. And there's a process, there's a path that we get involved in that leads us to where we care about others. And we understand that sometimes it costs us and it's difficult and it's worth it. That's the Savior that we worship. He came, he said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. That's the call that we have. Every time we take communion, we reaffirm with the act of receiving the elements that we're going to walk the Calvary Road, that we worship Christ and we want to be like Christ. That's my rock man image that I had for the children. I asked Sharon to put that in the slides because when I was little, the Fantastic Four were a cartoon strip. And when my cousin Larry and I used to play make-believe, he used to pretend he was a Mr. Stretch, you know, the guy that could stretch his arms. I always wanted to be the big rock guy. Now I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like him. And I ask you, brothers and sisters, to reaffirm your commitment. You want to be like him too. You aspire to be like him and to be a blessing to others. And as you seek to serve others, God will make you a blessing and he'll bless you and he'll take care about your happiness.